message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're glad you've joined us today, and we trust that our time together in God's Word will prove a real blessing and help to you. We're going to look again at the book of Romans and in our studies in Romans. We're going to go to Romans chapter number 13. And in the 13th chapter of the book of Romans, and since it's the 13, you know there'd be a lot of controversy about this chapter and about this passage. He begins to deal with the issue of our relationship with governments and the authorities around us. And one of the real questions that Christians often have is what kind of a relationship should they have with the government under which they live. And because we want to be conscientious citizens, that is, we don't want to just live in a community, we want to be contributors. If you do the things in Romans chapter 12 that he's talked about in the last two studies, in verse 9 to 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another, distributing to the necessity of the saints. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. You do all those things. You're going to be community involved. You're not going to need to go down and join the Little League with your kids in order to get involved in the community. You're going to be involved in the community. The community of the saints, but also the community of all men. And because of that, if you get out into the community that you live in, it isn't long before you notice that there are policemen out there who are enforcing laws. There are governmental authorities and so forth. There's government. In the natural social order of things, I was just the other day down with a group of our men and women from our assembly in Chicago. We were down at a big event down in the city where there were millions of people visiting it's called the Taste of Chicago, and a big festival. And we were there passing out tracts. And one of the men, as it would have it, parked in a restricted area. And he misunderstood the signage. He thought that because it was a Saturday that we were there, that it wasn't restricted. But when he got back to his van, there's a parking ticket on the van. Now you can say, well, wait a minute. We're out doing God's service and doing things for God and for the community and for mankind. And so should we be restricted by parking regulations, you know? Well, you know what he did with the parking ticket? Well, he took it and paid it's what he did. $15 fine, and he paid the fine. And you say, well, he's given up his lip. Well, was he or wasn't he? And you're going to have that kind of thing. And what do you do? How do you relate to it? How do you relate to the laws of the land when the government takes tax money from you and does things with it you don't like it to do? How do you relate to these things? Well, that's going to happen. See? Romans chapter 13 gives pointed instructions to the believer in a way that you can understand how to relate to the government in which you find yourself living. And so we're going to spend a lesson or two kind of going through this to try to glean out some information here about our relationship as believers to the government. He says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whoso therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. I'm going to stop there and talk about that in some detail, because there's a way you can understand this passage and there's a way you can misunderstand the passage. And the misunderstanding of it is going to get you into a situation where you will not be able to function properly as a member of the body of Christ in the society in which you live. And when he says, let every soul be subject unto higher powers, this is an individual's responsibility. Your responsibility as an individual is to be subject, obedient, submissive to the higher powers. Now, when he talks about higher powers, he's not just talking about, you know, your boss or somebody like that. He's talking about governmental powers. The powers that be, there's no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. He's not talking about the church ecclesiastical setup. There is no ecclesiastical setup in the church. He's talking about in the government. And when he says the powers that be are ordained of God, what he's talking about is the fact that God Almighty, when he set up the universe, he set up governmental authorities. Come with me to Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 16. Now you need to notice this very carefully, because if you don't start where it starts, you're not going to understand how it gets to where it gets. And you have to think a little bit here now and follow what's going on. Colossians chapter number 1. For by him were all things, that's by Jesus Christ, okay? By the Lord Jesus Christ were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. Now there's that word, the powers that be ordained to God. All things were created by him and for him. In Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heaven, and I'm going to just do that up here like this, and the earth. Okay? Now understand, I'm not giving you something to scale or that's going to look like what it looks like. I'm just using this as an illustration. God created the heaven and the earth. Okay? The next verse says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. From Genesis chapter, that's Genesis 1:1. From Genesis 1:1, there's a separation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Beginning in Genesis 1, verse 2, the issue from there on out all the way through your Old Testament scripture is the earth. All the way down to the book of Malachi, the issue is the earth. When you come to the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the issue once again is the earth. When you start out, Jesus Christ dies in those books. When you start out in the book of Acts, the issue is the earth. And there's a reason for that. Because what God's going to do back here is he's looking forward over here to the day when in the earth he establishes a kingdom. Now you need to understand something. From the time God put man on the earth back here, the issue has been the authority of a throne over the earth. But you notice in verse 16 here now, watch this carefully. For by him, by Jesus Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. Visible, you can see them on the earth. Invisible, you can't see them up in heaven because we're not there. Whether they be, and the things that are said to be created are thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers. The powers that be are ordained of God. We're talking about positions of governmental authority. Now that verse in Colossians 1:16 is not talking about the birds and the bees and the trees and the dirt and the stars and the clouds. It's talking about right there, he creates governmental authorities. When God established the universe, he created government to control the universe. He created a government in the earth, and he also created a government in the heavens. Fundamental. Basic point about your Bible. So government, the powers that be are ordained. They are set up and established and brought into existence by God, and it took place when Jesus Christ created all things. All things, all thrones, dominions, principalities, he created all the government. Now, if he created them, then whose are they? The verse goes on to say, all things were created by him and for him. Now, you know what's happened. In Isaiah chapter number 14, we read about Satan, about Lucifer. The New Bible take that out, of course, and call him the Morning Star, try to confuse you, you know, make you think it ought to be Jesus Christ. But a well-established English term for Satan is Lucifer. And in Isaiah 14, Lucifer, Satan's wise plan, his plan of rebellion against Almighty God, was that he was going to be like the Most High God. And the title for God, the title Most High God, is defined in Genesis chapter number 14 as being the possessor of heaven and earth. What Satan wanted to do was to take the possession. How do you possess something? Well, thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers. How do you prove that you own the house you own? Or whatever it is, the car that you own. The way you prove it is that a government gives you a title deed to it. Those are issues of government. The social contract that people put together to live among themselves and to function among themselves is what government is going to evolve into. If you go over, as I did some months ago, into the Eastern European bloc nations, there's a question. We were ministering over in some of the Eastern bloc countries. And there's a question about who owns the land and who owns things. And the reason the question is there is that the government is all in a disarray. And the government can't make these decisions for them, so people are having to wait. He wants to possess heaven and earth. He wanted to take over the government, the thrones, the dominions, the principalities and powers in the earth and in heaven, in order to restore the universe after that rebellion. God created man and put man in the earth and told him to go out and have dominion over the earth and subdue the earth. And the purpose of God in the earth is to establish the authority of Jesus Christ over the earth through the instrumentality of a kingdom that is vested in the nation Israel. But if Jesus Christ sits as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords as Israel's Messiah, he still only has authority over what? The earth, the government in the earth. There's still that government in the heavens up here that won't be under his authority. So God has interrupted today in the dispensation of grace. He's temporarily interrupted his purpose with the nation Israel to form the church, the body of Christ. Something that he planned to do, but he kept it secret. Now he's forming the church, the body of Christ. And one day he'll take the body of Christ to heaven. You see, we are a heavenly people. Israel is an earthly people. When Israel was taught to pray, they were taught to pray, Our Father which art in heaven, thy kingdom, what? Come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. They are looking for Jesus Christ to come back down here and bring the kingdom to the earth so that God's will can be done in the earth. You and I, on the other hand, we look for the Savior. Paul says that we look, our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, who shall come and change our vile bodies. And then what he's going to do? He's going to take us back to heaven to be with him. We're not looking for the kingdom to come. We're looking for the body of Christ to go to heaven. We are a heavenly people. And the reason, listen to me now, the reason that God is forming the church, the body of Christ, is so that Jesus Christ might have preeminence, verse 18 and 19 in Colossians 1 tell you, in all things, not just in the government and the earth. He's going to have that through Israel, but also in the government of heaven up there. God Almighty is interested in government. And the main theme of that Bible from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:22 is the authority of a throne over this universe. And the reason that God has a nation Israel and his purpose in Israel is to make them his earthly kingdom people to establish the authority of Jesus Christ in the earth. And the purpose of the church, the body of Christ, is not just to keep you out of hell and let you have a nice, sweet, wonderful life. It is to establish the authority, a vehicle through whom the authority of Jesus Christ in the heavenly places will be established. Now, if you go back with me to Romans 13, let every soul be subject unto higher power. When God established man in the earth, he gave him four institutions in order to help man propagate the earth and function in the earth. The first institution that he gave man is what we call volition. That is, some people call it free will. You are a personally responsible agent. Let every soul, it is your personal responsibility to be responsible for yourself. That one right there would take care of the victimization of whoever you are. The victim mentality that spreads all over our country today is simply a desire to take away your individual identity. You see, if you're not responsible for yourself and for what happens in your life, then you can't control it. You're just a helpless victim. And if you are a helpless victim, then you are not responsible. And if you're not responsible, you're not functioning as a human being. And it's a dehumanization. People talk about the dumbing down of the school system. It's the dehumanizing of people. And if you want to look around you and see what's going on in America today and in the world today, that's it. The next institution is marriage. Marriage. The most basic social unit of society is marriage. Then after that is the family. The institution of the family. Here you have a husband and a wife. Here you have children added to it. The children are added to it. You have a father and a mother and the children. And there is a prescribed social order in which children, culture and the life is passed on from generation to generation. And each generation is able to pass it on to the other generation. And the family unit is the unit to provide that and to pass on your values and to pass on your culture and to pass on your traditions and to pass on your identity that way. Now those three things are three basic social. It starts with volition. It extends out into marriage, the basic foundation unit of society. Here is the teaching unit to produce people living in society. And the next one is nationalism. Nations of men, nations of families to dwell in the earth. God ordained this institution, nationalism, to protect the functioning of these. If you talk to a policeman, we call a policeman a cop. C-O-P. Why do you call him that? Well, you call him a cop because that is an anachronism that means constable on patrol. And the purpose of a policeman in the area that he's assigned to patrol on a certain day is the orderly maintenance of the community. Excuse me. That doesn't simply mean to stop the robbers. It means to serve and to protect, okay, the orderly maintenance of society. Well, that's what nationalism and government is for. For as people spread out, then you have to have social compacts among them. Well, when we go back to Romans 13, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. What that means is that the governmental structures, the fact of government being the way things have to function when you get beyond the marriage and the family and we get out here in community life, you have to have human government. God ordained it that way. God set up the world. We go back to the owner's manual. We see God set it up to function that way. The powers that be are ordained. That doesn't mean that God elected the guy in office. It doesn't mean God set up Hitler or God set up Ronald Reagan or whoever else you either love or hate. It doesn't mean that God set them in office today. What it means is that God established the office. And then men have asserted themselves into it. The powers that be ordained of God. The offices, the government, the structure. Now, he says, let every soul be subject to higher power. Titus chapter number 3, verse number 1. Paul writes the church at Ephesus, or at Crete rather, and he says, writes Titus, who is preaching at Crete, put them in subject in mind to be subject, to be submissive to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. What he's saying there is we're to be good citizens. When he says, let every soul be subject to higher powers, if you resist the power, you resist the ordinance of God, they that resist receive to themselves. He says, you just need to be in whatever situation you're in. Understand that God set up national government. Men will go out and take possession of it any way they can. The violent take it by force, Matthew says. But the issue is for you and me, we're to be subject to the structure of governmental structure that God has ordained that exists. And we're to be good citizens in the context of where we're found. Now, if you go back to Proverbs chapter 24, there's a verse of Scripture that's often used about this that tends to be misunderstood. And in the conservative Christian movement today, there's a great deal of misunderstanding about these issues. Proverbs 24:21, my son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. Fear the Lord and the king. That is not talking about what in European history is called the divine right of kings. Ever hear that expression? If you're old as I am, you did because you got it at school. Now, if you're young, maybe you didn't hear that because they don't teach a lot. The divine right of kings is a wrong program. People go back in the Old Testament and say God ordained the king and the king is to run things. That was back when God was establishing the nation Israel and building a kingdom in the earth. Today God isn't doing that. And there is no divine right of kings today. That's the wrong program. That's Israel's program back over here. That's God's program over there. Israel's program over there. Well, that's not us in here. There's no divine right of kings today. When he says the powers that be ordained of God, he's talking about what Jesus told Pilate. Pilate said, don't you know I have power over you to give you life? And he says, you wouldn't have any power except given to you of God. That didn't mean that God Almighty set Pilate up in the job. What it means is that God gave authority out here, and that governmental authority, if God didn't give it, it wouldn't be had. Now, the difference between the United States of America and every other nation in the world is at this point. In the United States, where do we get our rights? We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. The rights come from God to the citizen, and the citizen gives them out and gives power back to the government to do certain limited things. In the divine right of kings situation, God gives power to the king, and the government can give the citizens any rights it wants. Well, that isn't the way it's done in here. See, that's backwards. And the mystique and almost apparition that America is in the pages of human history is that America, because of its gospel roots, because of its roots in the grace of God that came out of the Protestant Reformation, because of that, and I say because it came out of the Protestant Reformation, the impact of the Protestant Reformation on society. Not saying that rights come from the government or either the secular government or the church government, the hierarchy of a king or a pope who professes to have the keys both to the spiritual and the political authority. Rights not coming from there, but rights coming from God directly to the individual, and then to be able to be given back. Now that is the uniqueness of our wonderful country. But understand, God set up the government, and God set up the principle and the issue of government, and that issue is the way He intends and purposes for the world, for nations to be run. Now the question comes, well, what about if the government is ungodly? And that's a question. That's always a problem. Well, the answer to that is that all governments are ungodly. Even the best, ours, is ungodly. And it was ungodly when it began. The only time righteousness is going to reign in the governments of the earth is when Jesus Christ comes back over there. You aren't going to have it till then. So you don't need to worry about, well, if I got a godly government or not godly, you've got an ungodly one, because sinners are involved in running it. The principle is very easy to understand. If God says, I've ordained it, and you're to be subject to it, obviously you're to obey the government, where obeying the government doesn't cause you to disobey the Word of God. You could never be obedient to God's Word and disobey God's Word at the same time. Peter told the leaders of Israel in Acts 4, he says, whether it's right to obey men or God, you worry about that. As for me, we're going to do what God says. Well, if you'll do what God says, and if the government tells you to do something that God tells you not to do, or vice versa, then you render to Caesar that which is Caesar's, the physical things, but you render to God that which is God. That's your soul and your conscience. So if a government tells you to do something that's contrary to the Word of God, the Word of God wouldn't tell you to disobey itself. But you need to understand, so we'll talk more about that next time. We don't have the time to go into that. We'll talk about what do you do when the government tells you to do something that's contrary to the Word of God. And we'll go through those details next time, especially the issue of bearing the sword and war and going to war and that kind of thing. But no human government is ever going to be the issue until Jesus Christ comes back. Trying to go about today and change the human government and make it like you think it ought to be, thinking that that's going to bring righteousness in a world, that you're going to somehow legislate the morality of God to people, will never happen until Jesus comes. Today, the way you have an impact in your community, the way you have an impact in the world that you live in, is by taking the truth of God's grace and proclaiming it where you live, letting it live in you and through you live in the community that you live in. And that's the way you'll have the impact God desires for you to have. We'll study more about it next time. Join us then. Till then, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have to go along today's study. The tape is entitled Church and State. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call during regular business hours in area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 338. That's tape offer number 338. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we'd be happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know. We'll have to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.